You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Chris Cody, part of being the executive producer, apart from hitting some of the noises on the computer, is that you got to corral your talent. Your father is coming in here again, winded, not ready for a segment. Stu Gatz is not even here because I'm sure he's outside making his fingers yellow, smoking heaters. I want to relive, Billy.
How terrible my dad was to start that segment.
I want to relive what the University of Miami women's basketball coach was hearing, because Greg Cody didn't realize while talking to us that she could hear
not
everything.
Not just Greg.
All of us.
Yeah. So this is what happened. Katie Meyer joined a little bit early. Well, she's probably on time. I think we were late. It doesn't matter. So our segment ended, and then, you know, Greg and Chris were out in the penalty box. So we were in a very short break, and then we were going to get going. But the mics were still on. So Katie is in there, joins the Zoom. Everything's, you know, kind of settled. And then Stu Gatz, just out of nowhere, rat-a-tat-tat, just weed, heaters, LSD. And then we're like, turn the microphones off. So the microphones were then turned off. And we're like, you got to turn those microphones off because, you know, the coach is here. You got to, you know, everybody on their best behavior.
Was he telling stories?
Weed,
like, or did he just
weed,
say those
heaters,
items?
LSD. He was just reciting vices.
It was, I don't know the context in which they were used. It was just like a thing where I just heard buzzwords and ran and told Tony, turn off the microphone. So we turn off all the microphones. So then everybody comes back in. Greg, are you good?
Yeah, what do you mean?
So anyway,
well, you're leaning away from the microphone. Like, it's something very strange is happening to you. This is a maximum Greg Cody Tuesday here today.
Okay.
You didn't come to the meeting. You don't need meetings. You're disoriented. I haven't seen you like this since you came in on pills. You were on pills.
And
the lights.
Prescribed.
That was late night.
And the lights were disorienting you.
No, I'm not the least bit disoriented.
Billy was telling a story.
Well, no, I was worried because I was worried for him because he kind of just leaned back and I wasn't sure if he had his headphones on and if this was a thing that he didn't know we were doing on air, so I was genuinely concerned.
Billy, I was riveted. I was hanging on every word.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
It looked
my
like you fell asleep. It did. You did that thing where you had to like catch yourself.
In Greg's defense, that chair is a weird chair. Sometimes you lean back, it goes all the way back to the wall. Sometimes it doesn't give at all.
Yeah, and ever since Jeff Passan sat in it last week, it's gotten even weirder.
I knew he was holding on to a resentment. I knew it. I knew it. This is part of his. This
what
is how
is that?
This is how he lashes out because Jeff Passan took his seat for 30 minutes last week. I frankly think, Chris, that he'd be better in the seat next to you because this seat has become disorienting for an old man.
He can't. Tony's going in there?
No.
Hey, Dano.
No, that's not what's happening.
I could do better than Greg Cody at paying attention.
That may be true.
Billy, what was Greg Cody saying that Katie Meyer was hearing while Greg Cody didn't know that the coach was listening?
Okay, great. So then we turn off the microphones to protect you guys from saying God knows how that conversation started. I believe, and there was a correction here.
Yeah, this was Stu Gatz's top five things that he's done to his body. He was sort of workshopping in between. Oh, we'll get there.
Right, the top five things I've done to my body in my 20s that make me unhealthy today.
Correct. Yes, now, right. Katie doesn't have this context, so she just hears weed, LSD. It's a very weird start. Yeah. It just come off of, you know, making
what
it
do you think it was vegetables?
Eight.
I mean.
Yeah. And then we get to Greg Cody.
So then we're sitting there, and Greg and Chris are coming back in. So we're going to get started. So I go, Tony, are the mics on for when we get started? So we don't have a situation where we start where the microphones are off, right? And then he's like, yeah, the microphones are on. And Greg, I don't know if he knows Katie's there, if he doesn't know Katie's there.
He didn't.
Immediately says to you guys, you guys can ask her about that whole NIL mess. I don't want to get into that. With her sitting there, and then I say in Dan's headphones, she can hear all of this. Like, she's heard everything that you guys have been saying. She's been sitting in the Zoom.
And then we tell you that she can hear it. You go, I'm fine if Kate can hear it. And yeah. Then in his headsets, I go, it's Katie. And then he responds as if I said that out loud. Like, I could call her whatever I want.
No, not Kate, what
can
he
I
said.
Call you Kate?
He said, I've known Kate for a long time. Her friends call her Kate or whatever. And then she totally bailed him out and said, oh, yeah, like, my friends and family call me Kate, so it's fine.
When she texts me and emails me, she refers to herself as Kate. So that's not an issue. May I say something in my defense?
Hold on just a second. The executive producer's timing is a little off today.
I was just waiting for midway through a sentence. I was just waiting.
Okay.
Well done.
Your Honor.
Get off my plane.
I have to defend myself, okay? The reason, and consider this.
I need to explain. We'll get to this in a second. I just need to explain to the people that might not understand. I don't know which part of the library Chris Cody is accidentally wandering into, but that is Harrison Ford, I think, is the president of the United States.
Yeah,
Air Force One, telling someone, a hijacker of some sort, a threat of some sort, to get off his plane. That's not the sound I was talking about.
Get off my plane.
The reason.
Get off my plane.
Get off my lawn is more like it. Okay.
Hold on. We need the loser game show sound. Wow. It's just a little slow.
You got to cue that up.
He'll pick it up.
I'm only getting started.
He's auditioning.
Just need reps, man.
Yes, you just need some reps. You'll speed it up. He's a little slow.
Okay. He yelled out an obscenity when he did it.
He's very slow.
You and your dad.
I want to explain myself. I really do. I want to explain myself, and this is like a little is a little instructive lesson for the show, for your program here, okay? The reason I didn't know Katie was on is that I'm not in Zoom. And may I say in all candor,
because you were late.
When we have a guest
because
in
you were
Zoom,
because you were late.
And I'm not in Zoom
because you were late.
I can't see the guest.
Because you were late.
How was that because I was late?
You didn't get in on the Zoom. You didn't come in. You came in the middle of the show.
And Dan are in the Zoom.
Doing the show. Right. You didn't get in because you were late. Again.
I'm looking at my email right now. There's no Zoom link. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus.
Yeah, it's the same Zoom link every week.
It's
every
the
week.
Same email.
Every yeah. single
I don't
week.
See it.
I'll forward it.
You okay. got it last week.
Thank
okay.
you.
It doesn't
at least
matter.
You're rescuing the show
it's
now.
It's fine. It's
with
we're
the,
all
with
friends
the content.
Here.
Again, you didn't need the meeting. Didn't need it because you're so good at
no,
this.
No, I mean, it's
it's okay.
Okay, well, put
really honed in on the meeting, though. I mean,
well, I'm just this I mean. Is happening because I look, man, I'm not used to the meetings either. But we've got chaos around here. We don't have an executive producer.
Whoa. Yeah.
We're auditioning on air for executive producers. We've hired unpopularly David Sampson because the business side, like, we're running a business around here and it's just total chaos.
Get off my plane.
And I can't trust that we're going to competently do things because I got people who don't come to meetings and their son who don't hit the right button at the right time. Billy, is there anything
else?
It's
fine. No, it's fine. We're all fine here. The point was, and, you know, Greg's right. He couldn't see that, you know, Katie was there. So it wasn't a great spot for him. It was just an incredible introduction for our show to Katie Meyer today with, you know, weed, LSD, heaters, and then you can ask her about that entire mess because I don't want to.
Greg, I sent you the Zoom so you have them, okay?
Okay.
Save that email.
By the way, I feel like I should know the answer. How did that happen? Because I thought that the Cavender twins were suspended, but then they played. So is that just like regular season suspension?
I wanted to ask her those questions at the end, but you saw that my timing was off because you may have heard me giggling because she was talking and then I tried to talk. And it's one of, it is, yes, we have around here a sound when we're trying to talk to her. When we get the timing wrong, that is the sound I want everyone to hear. This is his greatest strength as an executive producer. This is the sound he helpfully makes in the background, and sometimes I don't know if this has ever been heard on air, but I feel it stab my side every time when there is talking over somebody around
multiple.
Here multiple times. You're trying to get in and Chris Cody helpfully offers
so comforting.
Your dad is now officially mad. I know him well enough to know when your dad gets really mad and isn't you are upset at us now because you didn't come to the meeting.
Quit saying that. Meeting, schmeeting. The reason I'm upset is that I am telling you something that is legitimately true. When you have a guest in Zoom and I am not in Zoom to see him or her, I'm hamstrung. I don't know that Katie was in the studio.
But Dad, this involves reading the room. Like, you are just, like, it has to be, like, slapped in the face. Like, hey, Katie's here. Don't say anything. Like, you know we're having her at 9:15.
No, I didn't know that.
All right, I'm just saying.
Well,
see, that's what
we mentioned at the meeting.
Oh, the meeting. Oh, the almighty meeting. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Excuse me. The meeting. You know, how many times have I asked you, move your studio closer to the Davy Plantation area, and you don't do it? I mean, the traffic is getting worse.
We are going to do it. We are presently.
Well, slightly closer.
We're in the middle of moving studios. It's been very complicated. It's one of the very many difficult business things we're doing around here. Barstool tried to steal some space from us. We had to nudge them out of the way because Barstool and Portnoy are trying to take our corner in Miami. I saw you, Billy. You're trying to become a food influencer. I saw you at the ballpark.
I dipped my toe in the food influencing game. I'm not ready to dive in, but we had there was a food influencer event yesterday that I was a part of. And I went to kind of check that situation out. And I saw something there that I thought Chris couldn't make it. I saw something there that I thought that Chris would be insanely jealous of at the ballpark. So one of the new offerings this year at Lone Depot Park, home of the Marlins, is something called Pardon My Cheesesteak. And it's a cheesesteak stand that Pardon My Take has inside the ballpark.
In the Miami ballpark?
It's a good name for a product.
This is our space.
Lone Depot Park.
This is our turf.
What about your product? What will we name your product? Mm.
I have an idea. Can we combine ideas? Because we talked yesterday about how we sneak into events. So I was thinking about this because I told Chris about the fact that Part of My Take is going to be selling cheesesteaks. Well, not them. You know,
I need a
whoever
food
it
item.
Is that's going to be. Mm-hmm. I am assuming that there will be employees that are there and you pay the employees and they give you. Like, they're not going to be cooking the cheesesteak. You understand how
No,
it works.
They won't be.
So anyway, I think, and I was thinking this, I told Chris, and I felt his jealousy in this situation, that he wants to have a stand that sells food. So if we can kind of go back in the time machine to yesterday we were talking about the perfect way, Greg, to sneak into any event. And we were saying that if you have a ladder and kind of like a working vest, you could probably get into anywhere. So I feel like maybe this is a perfect combination to do a combo where Chris sneaks into a stadium. Now, following him with a camera makes it difficult, granted. Yeah. So maybe we can get him to sneak into a stadium.
How about a GoPro where we're just getting it from his vantage point?
Mm-hmm. Just a GoPro on my forehead?
That's not conspicuous.
I would say it could be hidden on a lapel or something. I'm not saying that you have to wear it like a scuba.
Like a miner?
I think you could carry a ladder, a vest, and
wear
perhaps
like a snowboarding helmet.
A discreet camera of some sort.
You have him wearing a lapel?
On the vest, with the ladder. Secret camera where he's doing his own camera work.
With a ladder.
So use that to sneak in and then maybe like sell
food. So once I'm in, what am I doing?
What's the name of the food?
I have to sneak in food too?
Well, yeah, you said you want a food product.
What are you selling?
To put a stand up?
Yeah. Set up a stand, like sneak in with your ladder.
Peanut butter and jelly? Like, what are we doing?
Ooh, yeah.
Like out of a cooler?
PB&J.
So I roll in with a cooler.
But how about something with your name on it? Pardon My Cheesesteak is a funny name.
Peanut butter and belly? Just spitballing.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. That's not bad.
The executive producer role he's auditioning for remains open, being attacked from every angle by everybody in the company.
Peanut butter and belly's pretty good. I don't know, Dan.
But Roy's Bellamy, and he goes by Belly sometimes, so it's confusing.
He always goes
Roy,
by
the way, and I don't want to be out here snitching. To my understanding, because we were there for some time, we shot some stuff.
Did he post anything?
Huh? Yeah, we posted some
stuff. Did Roy, my point is I could see Roy going to this thing, eating all the free food and not putting any of it on social media.
You could be peanut butter, he could be belly, you could both be carrying the ladder into the place.
Well, no, so like I got a text when I was at home, this started at 3, I got a text at 5:40 from Roy saying I just got here, there's only water left. I go, Roy, buddy, this event was 2 hours and 40 minutes ago. He's like, yeah, I talked to someone. They said the food's already gone and the clubhouse was open, but everyone was gone. I'm like, you're walking around an empty stadium, friend? Like, they had a scrimmage going on. Maybe they're on the field now. Like, what's happening here?
Roy also applying for the executive producer job.
In Roy's defense, he was doing MoCo yesterday, so things ran a little late. But like at that point, I mean, I had been getting there at 3:15 because of traffic, and I was like, man, I'm showing up, you know, 15 minutes late than they told me to
Billy,
get
you're
there.
You're on time at that point.
But, you know, when people are showing up 2 hours and 40 minutes late, then I don't feel as bad, you know?
Your dad's mad, Chris.
He's definitely mad.
I'm not mad.
This is a passing thing. I feel like that's not going to be passing, you know what I mean? Like, this is going to be some, you know, resentment.
Not passing anytime soon.
You're both making the joke. It's a terrible joke, and Chris Cody's still fumbling around with the computer. Billy, come help him out here. Yes.
Get off my plate.
Okay, that's not the sound.
Excellent.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
He said while you were off there, while the connection was bad, he had mentioned that you have lost a lot of weight and that he admires that. What got into you? Why did you decide? I thought it was all... I thought we enjoyed being about the munchies.
Yeah.
Oh, it's slurring again. Okay, the connection is bad again, unfortunately.
Back to Magnus.
Okay, back to Magnus for Magnus. And this is going about as well as it could go. Thank you, Billy, again for laughing in my face.
Stugatz.
Magnus. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Action.
Hello?
Action.
Man, I'm really sorry. This is literally the worst way to ever do this. This is burning my heart that this is happening. But if you could hear me, just understand, I'm sorry.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Greg, I wanted to pitch you a Back in My Day.
Sure.
But I didn't because one time I did and you didn't like it and I felt shunned. So
really?
Which was that
I didn't like? I don't recall.
I don't remember what it was, but I sent Chris a tweet about it and I had no explanation as to why it is that I sent him this tweet, so I'm sure he was wondering what it was. And it was for this gizmo, a contraption, if you will, that you use to hang a picture on the wall, to hang a frame.
Yeah.
And it's this giant, elaborate, like, plastic T-shaped thing. And then you put it where it is that you want the picture frame to be.
Right.
And then you kind of push in, like, a lever or something, and it pokes a little hole in the wall. And then that's a guide for you to then go and kind of do a drill or a nail or whatever, and then you hang it perfectly exactly where you want it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I've seen that. I've seen other people that will then go and they'll get like a piece of like that blue painter's tape and they'll put that tape along the back of the thing, the back of the frame or whatever.
Right.
And then they just do like the little dots on the tape, dots on the wall, and then they retape it on it. And then it's like, it's basically hanging frames for dummies.
Right.
And I wanted to pitch you on the idea of having to earn hanging a frame or have to earn hanging something. Like all these new cheat codes and gadgets and gizmos that exist now, you didn't used to do that. You used to just go nail and hammer right into the wall, hope you don't hit a pipe. That's
right.
Another thing. Those whole stud finder situations before was guesswork. You know what I mean?
Right.
You just had to go and find the beam by knocking on the wood as hard as you can. Knock on the drywall. Just give it one of those until you find the beam. Hope you don't hit a pipe and then you go on with the rest of your lives. That was hanging back in the day.
That's a very good. I actually like that because Bill, you taught me how to knock on a wall to identify where the beams were.
Exactly. Is there any reason you don't have a Back in My Day today?
It's a quality control week.
Yeah.
I think I've had them a couple weeks in a row.
But you actually, you just QCW. Said that you have one that you're happy with.
I have, it's for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Staying ahead of the game.
Load management.
Yeah.
Yeah, quality control. Yeah. And, you know, when the Dolphins have a practice and sometimes a veteran player has a day off and they will say, instead of an injury, they'll say, you know, Terron Armstead off slash veteran rest. So in effect, it's a veteran rest week for back in my day. But the one I have next week, I'm truly excited about. I'm looking forward to research and writing that.
This is like that time, Dan, if you've noticed what's going on. Baseball season's right about to start. I know everyone's really excited. Opening day is later this week. And now, like, if you've noticed, there's like teams are like kind of back at their homes or they're slowly getting there. They're kind of like just doing like walkthrough thing. No one's trying to get hurt. That's where Greg is this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doesn't want to get hurt right before the start of a new season.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Billy reads me. Knows me.
We will be talking some baseball this week because this is the week around here where opening day still means something nostalgic, majestic. Brock Meyer is going to return after a way too long absence. And we got you ready yesterday with a viral video. The internet was excited, Stugatz, because we're spending a lot of time talking about real horseshit officiating. Like the talent level and the skill level in sports has gotten really sophisticated. Baseball with the shifts and the all or nothing, the scientific evolution of the athlete where everyone's throwing 100 miles an hour and everyone's hitting 450-foot bombs, and the umpire's still Angel Hernandez. And the umpires and the officials are not expected to be as good as the players, and they're not as good as the players. And in basketball, they're flying from the ceiling, and basketball refs can't officiate correctly.
Disagree.
Okay.
I think the officials are better than the players. Because in a baseball player, you only need to succeed 3 out of 10 times and you're a Hall of Famer. An MLB umpire, if you're like at 85%, you're considered a terrible umpire.
It's interesting that you only choose the hitter's perspective there because the pitchers are succeeding at a much better rate than 3 out of 10 times.
7 out of 10, I guess.
And Angel Hernandez is not succeeding 7 out of 10 times.
Officiating's hard, though. You would agree,
seems like
right?
A horrible job that you shouldn't want because you can only fail. Like, you only get your, you know, you only get any sort of criticism or whatever when you miss a call. No one ever praises you for hitting. Like, if one gets the corner, one's right on the black, you never get. You know what? That umpire had a great game yesterday. Great call. You never get that.
Totally correct. I would say that it is hard to officiate, especially today's athletes. I would say it's substantively harder to do so in football and basketball and hockey, where everything's moving very fast, as opposed to baseball, where it's not.
Dan, it's moving too fast now. We can get into that later.
Yes,
but also,
is.
The ball's moving up and down, side to side. How about just like a straight ball right down the middle? What happened to that?
Okay, we can replace the most with robots in baseball. And what you don't need, the place that I was headed with this, because a robot would not do what an umpire did to JT Realmuto yesterday, unless there was a glitch in the system. Like a robot, unless artificial intelligence had short-circuited and got enraged at a catcher, because what happened yesterday, if you did not see this video, Stugatz, have all of you seen this? Because JT Realmuto, and I don't know what preceded this, I don't know what the context is, but he just held up his glove to grab the ball from the umpire, a fresh ball from the umpire, and then because he had his back to the ump, he just moved his glove down for a second, and the ump missed putting the ball in his glove, and then was so embarrassed by that he took it as a sign of disrespect, and then ejected one of the best catcher in the National League. Ejected a guy, and now it's not a real game. It's a spring training game, but that is a
he
guy.
He did him a favor, honestly.
Yes, honestly, yes. The heat, the equipment, he did do. What a great favor. Yes, both of them could improve their brands here because Realmuto looks genuinely confused by why did I just get ejected there? I was just trying to take the ball from you the way that I always do.
It seems like JT's playing a little game of cat and mouse, though, with the umpire. I gotta be. He was trying to get ejected.
No, well,
the glove's
possibly
there. The ump puts the ball there. Well, he didn't feel the ball. He moves the glove before he gets the ball.
So
I mean,
my understanding of what happened is prior to that, the umpire had just been throwing the ball straight back to the pitcher. So JT, I guess, maybe out of instinct, reached back for the umpire to hand him the ball. And since the umpire had been throwing the ball directly to the pitcher, puts down his glove, then the umpire went to give him the ball. And that's kind of where that confusion was. I think JT, if he's been ejected from one game in his career, might be high. So it's not characteristic of JT to go after an
he's
umpire.
He's kind of maximum professional, isn't
he's
he?
He's the most mild man mild-mannered guy I've met in baseball. Like, he has no emotions. He just... look at me, Louie. It's fair.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
He's
all
not right. even yelling at the ump. Right. He's having an adult conversation.
You're right. No.
Turn around, look at me, Louie. Like, what happened?
Billy, I'm going to need some help here, okay? Because Chris Cody's moving a little too slow, and you, whispering while covering your mouth to Chris Cody, look at me, Louie, when we can all hear you except for him. I'm going to need you. If you're going to puppeteer like
that, evil cat.
You need to do it. Well, I mean, or you can move faster.
I'm a helpful cat.
We've moved on now. Bishop to Rook 9. He admits he's a cat.
Go sit in the penalty box.
Oh, boy.
But
who? Tony.
What?
But to your point on this,
I don't want Chet to look at how happy he is.
2 minutes for talking chess.
Look, he just checkmated you. Yeah. He checkmated you, and he's so happy about checkmating you because he lives to undermine. You got to go sit in there. No, don't yell at me.
Bishop to Rook 10.
Just because you got tricked by Billy, and Billy enjoyed tricking you.
I didn't get tricked.
Get out of here.
But to your guy's point on this JT Realmuto thing, he does seem to be smirking in this video to the umpire. As if there was a little something like, hey, can you help me out here?
Right,
I got plans.
Give me the context. Is Stugatz right, even though he doesn't know whether he's using cat and mouse game correctly?
No idea.
Is Stugatz correct with no information, no reporting, no context that JT Realmuto did that on purpose to to embarrass an umpire who immediately, if you have not seen this, let me explain something to you, because it is laughable in how much ego there is here. And Realmuto looks like a great actor afterward because he seems genuinely confused. But Realmuto has his back.
But not angry.
Not angry.
Preseason.
Has his back to the umpire, holds out his glove, and then the umpire turns around immediately as the ball hits the ground, turns his back to a Realmuto who is not looking. Now they're back to back. They're back to back, and the umpire's saying, you get out of the game, even though the only one who can't see that in the world is Realmuto, because he's the only one with his back to the umpire.
He threw him out before the ball hit the ground.
But he's asking for the ball. I don't know how it works with a catcher's mitt, but I'm assuming you feel it when the ball hits the glove, right?
Yes.
I mean, JT knows he didn't get the ball.
No, he gave up on waiting for it.
Disrespectful.
That was orchestrated. That whole thing was orchestrated.
No, it was not.
The two of them were in cahoots.
Really? Okay.
No,
I guarantee it.
You know how I know that's not the case?
I guarantee it.
You can tell on this umpire's face.
Bank it.
I've seen this look on my dad, where my dad, I do
and
something.
You know it.
I say something to my dad, and his reaction is just over-the-top ridiculous, and then he quickly realizes, oh, I overreacted to that. So in this umpire's face, you can see, he ejects him, he turns around, Realmuto explains what happened, and he has a moment of, oh, crap, I can't undo an ejection.
This is what would never happen with a robot. You are so right about this. I want you to imagine putting down the male umpiring ego. And him just turning around and realizing, oh, no, I immediately got this wrong. I take it back.
Right.
He had to double down on the ejection.
He's just like, I'm looking at you. I'm wrong, but I can't switch
fists
it.
Fists on hips. Yes. I cannot overturn this. I've already made a fool of myself.
Can I be honest with you? This is one, because you're saying that this would not happen with robots. I 100% agree. And by the way, it's one of my things in the column. And I'm not like an anti-replay guy. But if I was, this would be at the top of the list. I miss the manager running out and running things amok. You know what I mean? I miss them going out there, kicking dirt on home plate, throwing bases, doing all kinds of things. And you can't do that with replay anymore.
Now all you get is this.
Yeah, you can't even go out there. You can't even go out there and talk to the umpire anymore because you get ejected immediately. So we've lost some of the gravitas, the performance of being a manager. That was the thing, Dan. Back in the day, you know, because we always talk about how important is a manager in baseball. They really just make pitching changes, right? Back in the day, it was a performance.
Do you want to do back in my day here? I think you're now an old man. You're now an old baseball man. You could do a back in the day. An umpire could go out. Lou Piniella could go out and throw a base into center field.
I don't know this for a fact.
Lou.
You guys could tell me more than you've covered sports longer than I have. I feel like back in the day, part of being a baseball, like an interview process for being a manager was show us what you do if something doesn't go your way.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, Earl Weaver were hired on that fact.
Earl Weaver kicking dirt on the plate. Nobody does that anymore.
No.
Bring back Earl Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
Juju, put on the poll at Levitard Show. Do you miss the enraged manager running out on the field as an adult and, making a fool of himself?
It's sad now. All you get is the manager in the dugout holding up play. We're checking this.
Yeah.
It's like, no, go out there and yell at him.
I want to see some personality. I'm with you guys. Yeah.
There's nothing stopping the game. There's nothing stopping them from going out there and while they're seeing if they want a challenge, go argue the call.
I don't like the
Once we move to robot umps, are there going to be no more people getting tossed out of games? Because the robot's not going to be able to have that, like, jurisdiction.
You're
of,
out
like,
of
getting,
here.
Get out of here.
What if you just go unplug the robot?
Ooh.
As if there's an extension cord.
The ultimate sign of disrespect. Is that murder?
And would the punishment, if you punch a robot in the face, or is that punished worse than if you did it to a human?
You might hurt your hand.
No.
Yeah, you'd hurt
what?
Your
no.
hand.
What do you mean? Why would
dangerous
what?
Game.
What are you talking about?
It would one be punished less.
One of them's just breaking equipment.
Right. That's my point, is that we would see more players punching, because it's like, I can't punch Angel Hernandez. I can't punch Angel Hernandez because that will lead SportsCenter for 5 days. Yeah. Well, who's going to feel bad for a robot where if this is a bad call, yeah!
Real Muto would have been within his rights to disassemble a robot umpire that did that.
He honestly should send him like a fruit platter. So I'm like, thank God you took me out of the heat for the day.
JT Real Fruto.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas' assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no? Like
no.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Chris, I'm a little frightened of your father's judgment. He has just told me during the break that he has a chant that he believes can get off the ground and be something that supports at the Final Four enthusiasm. Is it for Miami? Is it FAU chant? What kind of chant of support is this that you believe will echo from sea to shining sea?
I think this is a chant that's going to take off nationally. It's an FAU chant. You know, the owls were foul owls on the prowl, were proud, were loud. And here's the thing. Okay, FAU, 9 seed, they're the interloper in this Final Four, right? Half of the, 90% of the country is going, saying, FAU, what? So here's the chant. Are you ready? Are you ready, Ron?
Yes, yeah, yes. We're all ready.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Let's go ahead.
It's a very big build-up.
Okay. Yeah, everyone, can't wait.
We might not be ready for
I'm speaking not. Hold on.
I'm speaking to the rest of the country. You say who? We say hoot. You say who? We say hoot. You say who? We say hoot. You say who?
Come on, Ron.
We say hoot.
Hey, hoot.
Thank
that's
you.
That's the way it goes.
What are you doing?
He's doing okay. He's doing an owl.
He's doing an actual owl.
He's doing an actual owl sound, a better owl sound than you say who, we say hoot.
Thank you.
Billy, I don't like
it's got a shocker.
How does. Much you're
thank
enjoying
you. Hurricane sounds,
you're
Ron.
Enjoying yeah. how terrible this is. Yeah, I don't one. Think it's going to get off the ground.
No, it will. It
also
has.
Also not getting before we get to Ron McGill here, also not getting off the ground, it would appear, is Chris Cody and you, FAU royalty, actually being on the bench or around the bench supporting. You're going to Houston. Both of you are
all
going.
All you little birds better lock up tight. Because there's a foul owl on the prowl tonight.
Yeah! What a great song. Wow. Continue it. It's great.
That's all we have.
Oh, that's all you got. Okay.
You would have known that if you'd been at the meeting.
Hey, yeah, here we go.
Mark, get out of the dark. Foul owl on the prowl.
Great. My favorite song ever.
Makes you sway your head side to side.
It does.
It really does.
It's a great country. It was a big country hit in the 50s, I think. I have a question for Ron.
But the Greg Cody show is going to Houston.
It's true. The Greg Cody show is going to Houston. We're paying, somebody's paying, quote unquote, for
you're right.
Christopher and I to go to Houston.
Yeah.
$5.
Yeah, Sheets and Giggles, if I'm being honest, is...
Well, what's happened here? Ron, we'll get to you in a second. Forgive me for delaying the show. You have stolen...
We're sleeping with your ex.
You have stolen Sheets and Giggles as a sponsor from us, correct? The Stugatz is strong in you.
I think Sheets and Giggles dumped you more than we stole them, and we were awaiting... We come cheap. You know, we don't charge the big bucks like the Lebatard show. The Greg Cody show is an economical get, And we treat you like gold when you come over there. And we've treated Cheese and Giggles like gold. They're throwing a couple of doubloons back at us, sending us to Houston. We're going to have a great time.
And they make great sheets, man. I got to tell you, those are the most comfortable freaking sheets I've ever slept on.
Hello. Yeah, and you know it, you know.
Baby.
Ron, I think you should steal as a sponsor for the zoo, Sheets and Giggles from the Greg Cody Show featuring Greg Cody.
With
Greg, you owe five, Dan too.
Greg, go sit in the penalty box for 5 minutes.
New episode.
5 minute major.
5 minutes. Right. 5 minutes. Me? Yes.
Oh, I had such a beautiful question for Ron.
More like hoot.
Hoot. Go sit in the. Go ahead and ask your question, and then get out. Go ahead and ask it.
And leave $5.
And leave $5.
All right, I don't have five.
Leave $6.
I'll you the money. Okay. Hey, Ron.
Just Venmo us.
The owl in FAU Owls is the burrowing owl, which is a very small owl. But I think of all owls as being mean and ornery. What can you tell us about the burrowing owl?
Oh, it's a terrestrial owl. It's not a big flyer, except when it's hunting. They tend to be underground as opposed to most other owls that are more arboreal. Owls in general, though, and I know that you're not going to want to hear this, but generally speaking, we always hear about the wise old owl. I've talked to this about before. They have very large eyes. Those eyes are so large, they take up so much space in the skull. There's very little space for the brain. So they're not the most intelligent bird. Actually, one of the least intelligent of all birds. Having said that, you know, they are nocturnal. They have incredible eyesight. You know, if you had the eyes of an owl, you could read a newspaper 100 yards away to give you an idea of how
that can't be true. That can't be true.
No one still wouldn't read it.
How could anyone have tested that, Ron?
They test the fovea of the eye. They taste the what do they call it? The rods in the
eyes.
The eye people who know more than I do about eyes tell me that's the case. That's what they can focus on. They've tested that. They also have incredible hearing. Now, I've done this test myself at the University of Florida, where we took an owl, we covered its ears so it could not hear anything, covered its eyes, rather, so it could not see anything, released a mouse in a pitch black room, and that owl flew from 30 yards away and landed right on that mouse just from hearing the mouse. So it's flipping unbelievable, the kind of hearing they have. Now, keep in mind, their ears are different than ours. We've got, you know, one ear on each side of our head kind of parallel to each other, but owls have one ear on the top part on the left side and on the bottom part on the right side. So they're able to triangulate sound better than we can, and that's how they can find their prey using sound alone. So they're incredible birds that way. And they have very specialized feathers in their wings. So when they flap their wings, they make no sound. They have silencer feathers in their wings. Ooh. So when they're flying, you know, a mouse is eating on the ground, and all of a sudden, if you're a chicken, you're flop, 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 the mouse is going to go, incoming, I'm out of here. But with the owl, it's like the stealth bomber. They're unbelievable that way.
What is the quietest of the animals as a hunter?
It's got to be the owl.
Really?
Absolutely the quietest. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've seen huge owls, big great horned owls fly across a room, and I cannot hear. And I'm listening for them. You cannot hear a single thing. It's absolutely silent. Special feathers in their wing.
I've got a number of questions here, not just about the owl, but I would like for you to put together for me, and I know this is putting you on the spot, but you're good at this, a reverse order, 5-1, top five senses, most amazing senses of the animals, because you're perpetually amazed by this. I'm amazed by just my dog. My dog out in front of me is a rescue and such a scavenger. He can smell things so much quicker than I can see them. And so sometimes when I'm walking him, he finds things that are far away before I've seen them, and he ends up eating it and I can't get it out of his mouth. And I'm sure you have five good ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at a polar bear. What do you want to say, Billy? I see you raising your hand back there like a little kid in the classroom.
Well, no, yeah, because that's what you do, and I raise my hand. Yeah. So just to clarify the list, so that we're, because there's only five senses. So these can be repeated senses. So like the sense of smell can be on there twice for different animals, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm not going to try to. I'm going to try to cover every sense and tell you my top animal.
Oh, I like that.
You were saying about the polar bear, Ron.
Polar bear.
Is that number five?
I'm talking about the sense of smell, okay? Right now, polar bear. Sense of smell is unflipping believable. A polar bear can smell a seal 5 miles away. 5 miles away. Now, you all look. I see you shaking your head. Oh, no, well, all that stuff Tony was saying, all that stuff. Yeah, I got it. Okay, but I'm telling you, they can do it. Okay, they can do it. If you look at the nasal bones, the terminate bones in the nose of a polar bear, it looks like this tiny little holes everywhere. There's all these little funky bones. There's so much surface area that they can pick up smell, as opposed to you look at a human skull, they have hardly any terminate bones, and we think we can smell. We can't do anything compared to a polar bear, okay? Mm. The sense of touch. Think about things. How animals use their sense of touch for different things. Look at raccoons. Raccoons use their sense of touch for food. They can feel things in holes. They can pretty much determine anything with their sense of touch. Their sense of touch is incredibly important to them. Okay, sense of sight. We're going to go to any bird of prey. Whether you talk about an owl, you talk about an eagle, you talk about an animal that can read a newspaper 100 yards away, even though Tony says it's a muela. It's not. They can do it. Or if they could read, assuming they can read, that, you know, that's a big assumption. Of course, you're taking a stretch there. But the bottom line is they can make the details out of those little letters on a newspaper from 100 yards away. They have an eagle can spot a mouse from almost half a mile in the air. Spot a mouse in the grass.
Impossible.
Come on, guys. This is unbelievable stuff. Okay. Now, the taste, I don't know about the taste. I don't know what's going to have the taste type thing going on there. So I don't know.
Well, you can pick another one of the senses and double up on another one of the senses if you need to adhere to the rigidity of the top five.
Yeah, it's got nothing on taste.
Okay, then I'm going to go with hearing.
Okay.
Let's go with the bats. I mean, what bats can do with their hearing is unbelievable. Echolocation. They're making the sound, and they can bounce it back. And the ears, look at the close-ups of bats. Look at the shapes and sizes of their ears. They look like aliens, man. It's unbelievable. And the way they can move it back and forth, they're like big radar dishes. That is freaking unbelievable when you look at what a bat can do with its hearing. So we got hearing. We got smell. We got sight. We got touch. The fifth one. What's the fifth one?
You already said taste is not useful here. So go ahead to one of the. Right. What is second most amazing on any of those that you're just?
Well, it's gonna be smell, and it's gonna be, you know, you look at some of these dogs that can smell cancer in a person. Think about this, guys. They can.
Why aren't they doctors?
Why are you saying that it's not impossible?
I'm just amazed. I'm not questioning. I didn't know that. Okay. I just didn't know that. They should be doctors.
They have proven that there are dogs that can smell ovarian cancer in a person before it's even determined.
What?
Okay? Before it's even diagnosed medically, they can smell ovarian cancer. This is unbelievable stuff, guys. Animals can save our lives if we just give them the credit and the opportunity.
So how would a dog respond or react if they smelled cancer? Like, what would be the sign?
The way they teach them is they teach them to alert. And the way they alert is they just sit. They would walk. Let's say you put, you know, five women in a row. One has already been diagnosed or one has the ovarian cancer. The dog will walk by all five women. When it gets to the woman who has cancer, he sits right in front of her. That's his alert saying she's got it.
How do they teach? I saw a currency dog. Evidently, there's a lot of money going from Miami to Los Angeles. Now, I did not know that there were currency dogs. I thought they were searching for drugs. How do they teach a dog to have the sense of smell necessary so that they could discover things like cancer or money?
Well, what they do is they'll take things like cancer cells. I'm going to go to the stream with cancer, okay? And they'll put it with other objects, and they wait for the dog to smell, and they reward the dog for smelling the cancer. So the dog's not saying, hey, I smell cancer, you need to take care of this person. The dog is doing something because it knows it's going to get rewarded for it. It's called bridging. We bridge when we teach animals to do things. When we see a behavior that we find favorable, we reward the animal. So what they'll do is they'll put money, let's say, put money in one bag and all the other bags have nothing. When the dog goes to the money, he gets rewarded. That's called a bridge. Right away, say, okay, you're going to have money. Boom. So then the dog learns, hey, when I go to the money, I get rewarded. And then you just reinforce that behavior. You keep causing different bridges to connect the animal to whatever you're trying to teach it. So the animal's not saying, I'm a specialist in smelling cancer. No. Or I'm a specialist in smelling drugs. No. We teach a dog that has an incredible sense of smell to pinpoint that one thing. That becomes a drug specialist dog. He's been rewarded. Like, we wouldn't have a dog doing drugs and cancer at the same time because then the dog's confused. So we teach the dog, this is what your specialty is. As soon as you determine that this is that, you will get rewarded. And that's how it works.
Ron, good seeing you. A reminder to the audience that has always been very strong. No bureaucracy when it comes to Ron McGill's substantive endowment. If you want to help the animals, he is doing it. You can search on the internet. It's easy to find if you want to support the things that Ron is supporting. The love for the animals is real. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Take care. Tony, missing you on the court, brother.
Likewise.
Take care.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling.
tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.